Professor Schach, the motion, Elisa, for hosting a beautiful Simchas Beis Shoeva. It should be Zelcha to continue to host many more Simchas in both the Dira Sarai and the Dira Keva. So there's a well-known mission in Sukkah that tells us that anyone who's never seen a Simchas Beis Shoeva, they never saw Simcha in their life. And so the Gemara takes that Mishnah and elaborates and says, one who's never seen the Teferis, the glory of Yerushalayim, has never seen a beautiful city in his life. And then the Gemara says, anyone who's never seen the Beis Hamikdash and its pe'er and its glory, its grandeur, has never seen beauty in their life either. So the Gemara, for some reason, wants to know, what was the beauty of the Beis Hamikdash? So the Gemara says that when they're building the Beis Hamikdash, the outside of the Beis Hamikdash is made of marble. And they left one row empty, and they had in mind to fill that last row in with gold. So it'd be marble, then a layer of gold, and then marble. And the Chacham took a look at the Beis Hamikdash, the outside. They said, you know what, it's better to leave it without the gold, because when a person approaches the Beis Hamikdash, it looks like they're waves. You see the outside of the marble, then there's an indentation, and then it sticks out again. So since it appears like waves, that's much more beautiful than it would be with gold. And that's the end of the Gemara. It's a very strange thing. If I were to ask you which is prettier, is it gold or waves, you would certainly tell me that gold is much prettier than waves. So what's the idea that the Beis Hamikdash should look like waves, and that was the beauty, that was the grandeur of the Beis Hamikdash? So there's another Gemara at the end of Yevamos, which describes that Rabbi Gamliel, who was once on a boat ride, took many, many trips on the sea, and one time there was a big storm, and Rabbi Gamliel, who was a Nasi, apparently had a very strong boat. And his boat made it to shore, but there was another boat nearby, which he saw. And he describes how he's very concerned that there was a certain Talmud Chacham who was on that boat. And that boat had capsized, and he was very concerned what would be with that Talmud Chacham. So the Gemara describes that after Rabbi Meir was that Talmud Chacham who was on that boat. And Rabbi Meir made it to shore, and he started to give shir whichever town he made it to. And Rabbi Gamliel was there sitting in that shir, and he said to Rabbi Meir, how in the world did you make it from that boat that capsized? How in the world did you make it from over there, miles out in sea, over to the shore? So Rabbi Meir responds that, Nizdah min li daf echad, I was a zocha, some aboard of the splintered boat, a certain board that was kept me afloat, I held on to that board, and each wave that came, I dodged each wave one wave at a time. That's what he said. So what's the significance of each wave at a time? He says, Michaverach l'chavero, from each wave, he dodged each wave at a time. So the idea is that a wave represents different challenges and different bumps in the road. So Rabbi Meir, if he were to look at the whole distance from where he was to the shore, he would give up hope. But mostly, a person can handle how far and how long it would take from where he is and to where he needs to get to. But he viewed it as each challenge, each wave was one, you know, wave at a time, one challenge at a time. And for that reason, he was able to make it, you know, mentally, he had the mental strength and the physical strength to take it and make it eventually to shore. So that's perhaps the idea of why the Rabban felt that the Beis Hamikdash should look like waves, because who's coming to Yerushalayim? Everyone comes to Yerushalayim, but certainly people who are looking for inspiration, people who are struggling with something, we're all struggling with something. But when you come to Yerushalayim and you see the Beis Hamikdash and these waves, so you're reminded that everyone experiences ups and downs in life. And the Beis Hamikdash is a place where we find that Yeshua. And this is a normal thing. There are ups and downs, just like waves. And we have to take each wave, each challenge, each day at a time. Whatever a person, whatever habit someone's trying to break. You're trying to break smoking, for example. You don't just stop cold turkey. Some can, but you take it one day at a time. Whatever habit you're trying to break, it's one day, 1 hour, each unit at a time, each wave at a time. That's the idea of the Beis Hamikdash, why it has to be waves. And that's perhaps the idea of a Simchas Beis Shoeva as well. The same idea, the Gemara says, who would dance at the Simchas Beis Shoeva? Not just anyone. So one opinion says just the tzaddikim, people who were born tzaddikim, who never sinned in their life. But then the Gemara says Bali Tshuva were the ones who would be dancing. Why Bali Tshuva? Because they were the ones who violated Avera, and they were able to overcome that taiva and make themselves better. And that's the idea of the ups and downs in life, being able to overcome that. So what's a Simchas Beis Shoeva? So the Gemara tells us it's based on Shaftamayim Bisason to draw the water. They would pour a special Nisach HaMayim, the water, on the Mizbeach. So the Gemara describes how they would walk down to a very low valley. They would go down, down, down to that depth of a tsara, let's say, the Amek. And they'd find a spring down there. So they'd go all the way down, but then they'd find this life source of a mayan, of a spring. And that spring, they'd then start walking up and up and up, up the hill to the guy to the base of Migdash. Then they get to the Mizbeach and then go up the ramp to the top of the ramp. So that same idea, Simchas Beis Shoeva, is about going to the depth, the person who's going through some type of tsara, or some type of challenge. There's the downs of the waves, but then there's the ups of the waves. That's where Simchas Beis Shoeva is. And that's where the continuation of the pasuk is, V'shafta Mayim B'sason, Mi Mayne HaYeshua. What's the name of this Mayan? What's the name of this spring? It's the Mayan HaYeshua. It's a place of Yeshua. So just like the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to represent waves, that are ups and downs in life, and we're looking for Yeshua, so to a Simchas Beis Shoeva is looking for Mayan HaYeshua, from that place of Yeshua. So what? How do you get a Yeshua? So that's what a Hoshana Rabbah is. Hoshana Rabbah, same lashon Hoshana. Hoshana Rabbah, all day tomorrow we're saying Hoshana, Hoshana, Hoshana. We're calling out to Hashem that we need a Yeshua. Hoshana Rabbah, this is the big day of Hoshanas. And it's about ups and downs. And that's the idea of what Sukkot is about. That's what the Simchas Beis Shoeva, that's what the Beis HaMikdash is about. Going to the center of the world, the place of Yeshua, to daven for a Hoshana Rabbah, for a tremendous Yeshua. So there's a story that I shared, I think, three Rosh Hashanahs ago about Rav Bardiki. Rav Bardiki, we don't know anything about other than the fact that he was a Talmud of Rav Chaim Mivolozhin, and that this story I'm about to tell you, that's all we know about him. So Rav Bardiki decided, he lived in Europe somewhere, and he decided that he and his family were going to make Aliyah to move to Eretz Yisrael. So he sent his wife ahead to go set everything up in the apartment and get jobs set up. And then when everything was set up, she'd sent back a report that everything's set up. Now you could come, they had two kids at the time. You and the two kids can now come ahead and everything's all prepared. So they got the message from his wife that everything is all organized in the apartment. And now you can come with the two kids. So Rav Bardiki gets on the boat with his, he has a son and a daughter. And they get on the boat and they start traveling to Eretz Yisrael. And it's a long trip. And as they're not too far off, a big storm comes. And the boat capsizes, and the boat breaks, and Nizdamin lo am daf achat, and he was able to zizocha to one daf, to hold on to one small board to keep himself afloat. And then he had his two kids to hold on to at the same time. And he had to swim his way to shore. So he's swimming his way to shore, holding on to his son and daughter, and he's running out of gas. He's getting very, very weak, and he's getting closer and closer, and he's struggling. And he can't hold on to both of them anymore. And so he says, there are no ladies that are here, right? So he says that he was reminded of the Mishnah in Horios. He knew that he couldn't take both kids along with him. He couldn't, he didn't have the strength anymore. So he said, I need to make a decision. It's either all three of us are going to drown, or one has to drown, but two of us can make it. And he remembered the Mishnah in Horios that tells us that if a boy and a girl are both drowning, the halacha is that you save the boy and not the girl. So he explains this to his son and daughter as he's swimming to shore, and he tells them that I can't handle this, I can't swim my way over anymore, I can't hold on to both of you anymore, and I need to let one of you go. And he tells them, he decides that he needs to let his daughter go. So they're holding on to him tightly. And he says, I can't do it anymore. And he begins to peel his daughter's fingers off of him as she's grabbing onto him very, very tightly. And one finger at a time, he's peeling off. And just as he's about to let go of her, she screams, Tati, Tati, please don't let go. Don't let me go. Don't let me drown. And he was given an extra adrenaline and chizuk. And he was able to hold onto her for a few more strokes. And he said, I just can't do this anymore. I'm being pulled down, my muscles are falling apart. And he begins to peel her fingers off, one by one. And as he's about to let her go, she says, no, Tati, Tati, please don't let me go. And this goes on several times. And finally, as she's screaming out, Tati, Tati, don't let me go, they see the beach is right in front of them. And they get to the beach, and the father of Bardiki passes out on the beach. And the son and daughter both make it alive, and they're trying to wake him up, throw water on top of him, shake him, shake him, shake him. And finally he wakes up and opens up his eyes. And his daughter says to him, Tati, Tati, thank you so much. You saved my life. And he says, no. You saved your own life. I was ready to let go. But when you screamed out to me, Tati, Tati, I didn't have the ability to let go of you anymore. Because you screamed out, Tati, Tati, I couldn't let go of you anymore. And when he got to settled in, he gave a drasha that week, and he explained that, I think it was during our Seder Metshuva when he got to Yerushalayim, he gave the drasha saying that's what's happening during our Yom Nerayim, that's what's happening on Hoshana Rabbah, which is the Chasima of Yom Nerayim, that we're calling out to Hashem, Tati, Tati, we're calling out Hoshana, 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 we're asking for Hoshana Rabbah. We're asking for a tremendous Yeshua from Hashem. And the more we call out to Tati, to Avinu Shebashamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just can't let go of us anymore. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu is filled with a certain rachamim. He won't let go of us anymore. So we're completing now the final part of the Yom Nerayim with Hoshana Rabbah. And we're davening to Hashem, Hoshana, Hoshana, we have a tremendous Yeshua. So Mitzvah Hashem, Yishol Bizocha, to have Yeshua, whatever challenge we're going through, and Bizocha to the ultimate Yeshua, the ultimate Gula, Gula Hashem, Mitzvah Shem Herbi Amenu. Amen.